The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Guys, we have a new tier on our Patreon, and it includes exclusive bonus content. Listen up. Right now, for just $5, you get the Honeydew a day early, you get it ad-free, and you get a full bonus episode of the Honeydew with Y'all, where listeners highlight their lowlights, and it's going to stay that way. $5. And for just $3 more, you're also going to get the way back a day early and ad-free, but that's not all. You'll get exclusive bonus content with the guests, some fun segments, maybe some games, and we'd love to get you guys involved. And that's all for only $3 more. And there's no censorship on any of the Patreon episodes. Subscribe now.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Way Back, everybody. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Thank you. As I say in every episode, thank you for supporting me in whatever I do. This show, I'm loving this show. I'm having so much fun. So many of you on the road are coming up. Like, I'm loving the Way Back, and I love to hear it. I also love our guest on here today, ladies and gentlemen. Very excited to have everyone here. Please welcome Rachel Feinstein.
Thank you for having me.
I got it right that time?
No, but it's okay.
God damn it. Hold on. Is it? How? Say it.
It's Feinstein.
Stein. God damn it. Okay, hold on.
I like that he kind of yelled at me. Say it. Oh, my God. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rachel Feinstein.
Thank you for having me. You got it right that time, Ryan. Yes, it's Rachel Feinstein. I have a special out on Netflix. It's called Big Guy. Watch it.
Go watch Rachel's special. Go see her on the road. She's one of the best out there doing it. And I got a special place in my heart for you because you're a Maryland girl.
I'm a Maryland girl.
And I want to, first, I always usually ask people, did you ever growing up sit in this seat? Did you know anyone that had this seat in the back that faced out the window?
What kind of car is this again?
This is just the old Caprice right here. But any station wagon ever that you sat in the seat
where
you faced
the traffic? This was the vibe, for sure. Yeah. Like, it was stuff like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a... I'm not name dropping, but we had a Datsun.
Yeah, you mentioned on a Honeydew. Go watch your Honeydew. I wanted to ask you about this. You had a Datsun. Do you remember what it was?
We had a red Datsun, all right, you guys? So get off my dick.
Was it a sedan or a wagon?
Obviously, generational wealth, okay? It was a station wagon. I forgot the difference. It was a station wagon. Mm-hmm. It was a red Datsun station wagon, and none... That was it. Oh my God. How'd you do that so fast? But it was like more maroon. Can you look up maroon Datsun? That'd be fun. Yeah. That's what it looks like. Uh-huh. God, what a piece of shit that car was.
That's your wagon right
there?
That
was our wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. That was our wagon. My dad called it the bulldozer. I don't know what it was accomplishing. It wasn't like a big car, but, my father once, so, you know, I have like a Jewish dad. They're not known for their like, you know, physical prowess. You know, they're more, he like couldn't operate a fuse box, didn't know how to fix our car, or open it up. So, and I remember one time we went over to my friend's house. Oh, that's my dad. Yeah. We went over to my friend's house and my dad, the Datsun went fully over on its side and it.
What?
Fully
what
over
do you
on its
mean?
Side. Yeah.
How does it tip on its side, Rachel?
I don't know, but the Rubinos are going to have to answer this. Maybe they'll call in. We can go to a caller. But My dad, apparently, this is a famous story in their home because Howie was like the Chevy Chase of our area. God. So he was always doing something dumb. He always had like snow on top of his head being interviewed by the local news or some shit. So apparently my dad, the Datsun fell fully over on its side. And my dad just kept revving the engine like it was going to pick the car back up again.
Like it was going
to. She said her dad was like, calm, Howie's outside. You guys have got to see this. Get to the window. And they were screaming at their kids. And they were like, by the way, they were in my dad's band, the Vomitones. Again, name dropping again. But they were all like, get to the window. And apparently she said my dad would just kept revving and revving. And they were all just crying, laughing. But my brother barfed in that Datsun so many times that he called it. It then changed the name to the Feinstein Barfmobile. And I remember that I would go in the backseat of the Datsun. And for some reason, there was this commercial. I'll definitely age myself. But Tawny Catane was like, I don't know if I'm saying her name right. Mm-hmm. Do you remember her? Okay.
Yes. Rest in peace. Tawny Catane.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know she passed away. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there was another movie.
If you don't know who she is, she was the White Snake girl. She's the lady that danced on the Jaguar she was really hood hot. Of the White Snake. And she was in Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks.
Yes. And I thought she was really hot. Her and Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah. Okay. Weird Science. Kelly
yeah,
LeBrock.
Weird Science. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to look like her and have like that big hair. And there was, I think it was like a shampoo commercial with Kelly LeBrock. I'm not sure. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Yeah. Yes.
Don't hate me.
Don't hate. Doesn't she have an accent? It was like, don't hate me because I'm
British,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just used to try to talk in my mirror like Kelly LeBrock. And then I decided that for some reason, I thought it was cool. I think my friend told me this, that you have to, if you want to look hot to men, you have to put all your hair over to one side of your head and kind of go like this. I have a picture of myself doing this. I'll send it to you and go like that. And kind of like, that was the expression. So I would just like
press up the messy hair.
That's what I do in the backseat. That was from Kelly LeBrock. And so I would
don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Yeah.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. And then I would go to look at the guy, whoever was driving behind us. And I would try to do this sexy look. Okay. Can you imagine some fucking guy?
Child's doing.
Yeah. And like this guy's trying to get to Target. And then he's like, what the hell is this girl doing? And by the way, my parents knew about this game so much and that my dad would just hit me when I was doing it. Like there wasn't any deeper discussion of why is she like just hitting on strangers. But my dad would be like, stop playing sexy.
Stop playing sexy.
He knew what I was trying to do, which is fascinating to me because like he's so.
Stop playing sexy.
He'd be like, that's enough. Just stop throwing sexy. And I would just like hold it until I'd see a guy look at me. Like my brothers, I had brothers. They were playing with fucking action figures. And I was just sitting there like this, like just glaring at strangers. It was so disturbing. But that's what I do in the backseat of the Datsun because I wanted to be like Kelly LeBrock.
On the Honeydew that thing was all started falling apart. And you had to get in.
Datsun was jacked. Make
and
no
he
mistake.
And would take you to high school and you would have to climb out
it
of the back.
It was so humiliating. None of the doors worked at all because my mother would just go to any mechanic and believe anything they said. She'd be
now
like,
how are you getting in and out?
We would. Okay. Even none of the doors worked. And then there was only one door that worked, which was in the back, but the springs on the door didn't work. So it would slam shut. So my dad took a broomstick and he would put it in the back of the Datsun. And that's how we had to climb in and out of the Datsun, which was, very dangerous too. Like any of us could have gotten a limb cut off in that thing. And that's how he would drop me off at, you know, Tilden Middle School, WJ, before I was finally pulled out because I was failing. But that's how he would drop me off at school. Is he would put the stick up in the back and the Datsun. And he had a lot of like kind of lines that my dad would have about why we had to spend no money on anything. One of his was he would be like, hey, if it's good enough for a cowboy. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense
at all.
Also, cowboys don't drive Datsuns. Yeah, he'd be like, hey, if it's good enough for a cowboy, it's good enough for us.
They use brooms either.
That's what he would say when he would just like burn our breakfast because my mom was at work. He'd be like, hey, if it's good enough for the cowboys. And I'm like, what have you been a cowboy? Your name's Howie Feinstein. Yeah, you can't like ride a horse. That was his answer for everything. And then also for birthday parties, we were only allowed to get $3 or no, I think it was $7.50. My dad said, hey, good enough for the cowboys. I'm like, do the cowboys really have a specific gift
budget? Wait, that was your gift?
Yeah. And so
what are you getting for $7.50?
Fucking nothing, Ryan. Nothing. So then my friend recently showed me like a video from her birthday party when we were kids. And it just says everything is about like why I became a comedian. Because the kid was opening all these presents, just delightful things, fucking Cabbage Patch dolls. Yeah. All her dreams are coming true. And then Rachel Feinstein's present. What does she open? I think colored pencils. And then she was looking around for the second gift. And you can see in my face, I'm like, you could see the anxiety. Like, I'm going to need to hold a room hostage in Tampa because of this moment. Tampa, and make them listen to me. Yeah. And then I come over to her and I just started rubbing her back. Like, I thought that's what I'll do. I'll just soothe her instead, since all I have is like pencils and markers for her, because my dad was like, hey, it's good enough for the Cowboys. It's good enough for Kristen Pasek.
All right. You're a Maryland girl. We mentioned talking before, you went crabbing as a kid. Where would you guys go? How would you do it?
So I don't know the names of the restaurants, but we would go to Ocean City and Rehoboth. Mm-hmm, and those were some of our vacations. And I remember we would go out with the whole family. My dad was very spastic. He didn't really like teach us how to eat crabs. I just remember that I don't think he was doing it right. You know, people watched us in restaurants a lot because we were just that mess of a family. You know, like I came late to my own bat mitzvah. You know what I mean? Like that was the vibe when we were crabbing. Like we needed a lot of help. It was definitely like, you know, when they take, you know, like very mentally ill kids on like a special day field trip and help them like streamline them into main society. That was our fucking family. Like, wanted like a normal dad that smells reasonable. You know, my dad had a theory that you don't have to wash denim. He's like, it's self-cleaning.
Self-cleaning.
Like, it's not true.
I've never heard anybody say if it's good enough for the Cowboys.
Like, yeah, if it's good enough for the Cowboys. Again, I'm like, you're Howie Feinstein. You can't name check the Cowboys.
Denim is,
you're not a cowboy. Yeah. He'd be like, it's self-cleaning. Like he was just, my dad still has, what's it called? What's the thing? The Walkman. He has a Walkman still. Yeah,
got one right over there.
Wow, you have a Walkman.
Still. Grab it, Kirsten. You mind?
And those striped socks, you know, that men had in the 80s. Yeah. Like
yeah.
The two stripes. Yeah.
This guy here.
This is what my dad had. Yeah. Dropped me off.
And I couldn't find, I've got the old school orange headphones with it over there, but I couldn't find, there was a yellow one, the yellow plastic headphones that went with this. And then you opened it up.
Yeah.
Put your cassette in there. It had auto reverse. This was a good one. This was the one right here.
Yeah.
Everybody knew.
That
Howie
was
knew.
Howie. Yeah.
Howie knew.
And he'd memorize every blues album, everything. And he thought there was nothing funnier than British royalty. And so what he would do is he would have these dreams about the Queen puking on different British royal figures. And he would laugh hysterically in his sleep. And my mom says, sometimes he puts his Walkman on in the morning and tries to record a little song about it. He listens to a piece of music that he finds for inspiration. And then my dad would basically have these dreams about blues musicians puking on the Queen. He would narrate them in his sleep. Again, I wanted a normal dad, just a dad with a fucking name, Ned, that just mowed a lawn or something, you know, just, but my dad was like, he was in his sleep. He would be screaming. He'd be like, ah, look at that right in the Queen's purse. And then he would rate it like a sports game or something. He'd be like, oh, that's 400 points. If you puke on the Queen inside her purse, which she's about to be anointed, he's like, oh, that's at least 50, 60 points right there. And he would have different blues musicians doing it. He'd be like, Sonny Boy Williamson just puked right in the Queen's hair. This is going to be huge. You know, they're going to the Super Bowl or whatever. It was very strange. My dad was very funny and very weird. And yeah.
Tell me about vacations. Were you guys a driving family, a flying family? What are you guys doing?
Never flew anywhere. Now, Howie, come on. It's good enough for the Cowboys.
We rolling in the dots.
There's no Southwest. When is the last time you've seen a cowboy on JetBlue?
That's a good point.
It's not going to happen. No, we drove everywhere.
What's the farthest you did? Where'd you go?
I'm trying to think. We did a lot. A lot of our vacations were outlet shopping. My mom wanted to go outlet shopping. She wanted to go to the Liz Claiborne outlet. I believe it was in like Redner, Pennsylvania. If that's Google.
There's one on the way to the beach too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we usually had to stop for at least one night so my mom could go outlet shopping.
That's what I try to explain to people, at least on the West Coast and any of you out there. Like if you're from Maryland or that little pocket of the eastern East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
A vacation is driving to Ocean City for a week.
It's Ocean City, Rehoboth.
You're not flying to fucking Grand Canyon or any. You're going to Rehoboth or Ocean City or Delaware, somewhere down there for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to walk the boardwalk. You're going to hit the outlets. You're going to have some meals and go to the beach.
You guys went outlet shopping too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was our vacation. It was always built around the outlets because my mom wanted her friends Liz Claiborne stuff or whatever. So we go there and then
Delaware's no sales tax.
Which, by the way, it's really funny that you say that because my husband, when he proposed to me, he said he wanted to ask my dad's permission. And if you watch my other podcast with Ryan, my dad's not particularly protective, but I was touched that my husband wanted to do that. And I was like, that's sweet that you want to drive down and ask my dad's permission to ask me to marry him. And he goes, yeah, I also got the new iPhone tax free in Delaware along the way. So there was that too. I'm like, you're not supposed to tell me that part. He's like, come on, it's tax free. Yeah, that was the main reason, I believe, that he wanted to drive down there. But yeah, we would go to Rehoboth. And one time we were on the beach. I think it was Rehoboth or Ocean City. And they were doing like a morning, some morning news, like fluff piece about kids on the beach. And they stopped and interviewed me with my family. And I was like very excited for my big interview. And I think they said, where are you from? And I said, the United States of America. And everybody laughed. And I was like, wait, why are you guys laughing? I'm from the United States of America. And that was kind of my first experience of like getting a laugh, you know, but it wasn't for the right reason. Like I was trying to figure, I was like, wait, how did that happen? You know, were they laughing at me? And then I learned later. Yeah. They were they absolutely were. And they probably still are a lot of the time. But yeah, that was my first laugh. The United States of America. I was like so proud and everybody laughed. And I'm like, wait, why are you guys laughing?
What about camps? Did you do camps. Any sleepaway camps? Did you go to any summer camps?
We did. We went to, let me think here. So sleepaway camp, we went to, before I say the camps, the other vacation thing forgot to mention is we went to Hershey Park. Did you ever go to Hershey Park?
Yes.
Okay. We went to Hershey Park. I believe
that
my mom
was the
went.
Big park, the Super Duper Looper.
Yeah.
That was the roller coaster. They sold a shirt. I had it. I survived the Super Duper Looper t-shirt.
Yes. That
it was like black, I want to say, with white writing. God damn, you're making me think of.
By the way, that thing was terrifying.
It was. Now it's nothing.
That traumatized me when I was a kid.
And they also, if you remember, this is Hershey, Pennsylvania, where they make all the chocolate. And right next to it is the Hershey Tour.
Yeah.
And we were just dumb kids. And we would go by. And I'm telling you, Rachel, at the time, there was just chocolate open area. We're spitting in it. People were throwing change and shit in it. And the next year we went back, there was glass up. There was definitely glass up. But we would do the Hershey tour. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because like I remember that, like looking at the big kids and they were doing stuff like that. And I was like, I think I was maybe 8. We did the Hershey tour. And I was like, wow, the teenage. Remember you looked at teenagers and you were like, they're so exciting. Mm-hmm. I remember that we were like in I think it was Giant grocery store. And I saw a teenager put their hand into the candy and like take a, meanwhile, like 5 years later, I was tripping on acid. But I saw them like come in and like take a handful of of like Raisinets. And I was like, mom, that's a robber. Like in my mind, that's what a robber is. Yeah. And I was like, you have to call the police. That's a robber. And she's like, no, it's there's sort of small robber and large robber. And I was like, oh, okay. But I remember it was so exciting to see like a teenager do something that wasn't, you know, like
rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went to Hershey Park and my dad, I think, he used to sort of give us a throw when we were in trouble. We were always hurled. Now he wouldn't like really hurt us, but if we were doing a bad thing, you just pick your body, you feel your body get picked up and just hurled. Like I just knew
just
my brother
moved.
Was always wrestling me. He was obsessed with wrestling. So my whole childhood just was in half Nelson. I feel like I was never not in a fucking half Nelson. It was so irritating.
I love that you know what a half Nelson is too. You were definitely in this.
And my dad was like, stop playing sexy. Get her out of the Nelson. Get her out of the Nelson and Nelson. Stop doing sexy. So I was always in a Nelson. My brother, by the way, favorite son, because, you know, that was like their whole world. So when my brother found out that like By the way, I think it was that WWF wasn't real. By the way, wrestling is kind of real. Like, they're still doing it.
Yes, they're
but when they found out that
up.
It was pretend or whatever, he went into some sort of, like, depression, and we all had to have quiet time all day. And I'm like, why? Because this asshole found out that, like, his wrestler isn't always doing everything in the moment. I'm like, the whole house has to go into mourning, but that's what the first son is. Like, they just loved him so much. Mine was like, just let him do the headlocks. He just figured out that some of it is rigged. And I'm like, excuse
let
me.
Him do the headlocks.
When my brother was, whenever he would like find me, he would take his dirty sock on. This would happen when I get off school. He'd take, by the way, now he's like the lovely, the most gentle guy. He would take his sock off, roll it up into a ball, put it on my face, and then do it some sort of countdown. He'd be like, 10, 9. I'm like, what the fuck? There's nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to be laying still with the same sock in my dumb face, you know? But he's always like narrating everything like it was a wrestling match. Or he would do, he put me in under the pool at YMCA. He would put me under the water and be like, Chinese water torture. And then he would just make these like Chinese, again, this is a kid being racist, so don't give me shit. But he would just make what he thought was Chinese sounds. He'd be like, Hana, Sai, Lai, Hai. And then just make this bad, weird, in his 10-year-old mind, like what he thought Chinese sounded like. And he'd be like, Hana, like Chinese sock torture. I'm like, no, it's just your sock.
Drowning you down.
Don't drag China into this. It's just your sock. And he'd be like, Hana, Sai, Na, you have to do your Chinese water torture. And the way I got out of these different things was I would had to bring him a constant stream of cereal while he was watching wrestling. So what would happen is I'd be in the middle of doing a bad thing, and as I was this week in Hershey Park, and my dad picked me up and hurled me and picked Justin up and hurled him. So the second hurl, we were usually hurled towards safety. But that's how you found out you were in trouble. You just like your body was like hurled and they put you on the threw you on the couch. And so he threw his back out, throwing my brother.
Oh, shit.
Okay. And my mom was like, they never questioned that throwing us would be the best way to handle these conflicts. My mom was just like, you can't throw him like you used to, Howie. You can't.
You can't.
Not with your back. You cannot keep hurling Justin like you used to. You're getting older. So
it's not the discipline. It's not the same.
No,
problem.
Nobody questioned it.
His back is giving out.
Now. Was the best thing to do with us. I was always thrown, always. And my
Could
mom wants
to just throw in your kid.
Like, it's hey, insanity to me. Off. Like now, yeah. I'm like, I overthink.
I've never heard of that.
I overthink every aspect of how I talk to her. I'm like, I have to fill her with my parents. We were just hurled. Forget they didn't have the time. They were like working too much. We were just hurled. And so we were in Hershey back in Hershey Park. My dad threw his back out, hurling Justin. So then we go to this little adorable, it was like a little cabin restaurant. But again, we didn't fit in. You know, we were that Chevy Chase kind of family. So we were in the back of this restaurant in Hershey Park, and we were ordering the chocolate chip pancakes. We weren't allowed to have sweets when I was a kid, so this was so exciting. Like, to get chocolate chips and pancakes.
Huh?
No sweets, so now I'm completely obsessed, and I always want to have snacks.
Hershey fucking Park, for God's sake.
Yeah. So this was exciting because we were going to be allowed to have chocolate. So we get there. My mom was always in some kind of like slim, fast, no fat, 80s fad diet. We were in the back of this restaurant, and then all of a sudden, my dad's laying in this booth. Like, he just dropped. He was like, ah, like he started making these weird, like, man cries, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like, ah, and then I guess he had some kind of back spasm. And that's when my mom was like, I told you not to throw him, throw one or the other. You can't
one
throw them both.
Other.
Yes.
You can't do two anymore, Allie.
She's like,
it's still okay to discipline like that, but dial it back.
She goes, when you remove one from the conflict, like that, you're not allowed to refer to it as a conflict, by the way, if that's your resolution for it. She's like, when you take one out of the conflict, you don't need to hurl the other one. So don't hurl them both, Howie. You're showing off with the second hurling. So she was like, this is what happened because you hurled Justin and Rachel. And then he was laying down in the booth at Hershey Park, screaming. Everybody's staring at us now. And again, we're always that family that was getting looked at, you know? So everybody's looking at us. And then all of a sudden, my younger brother takes his entire cup of milk and pours it slowly, because he was two, on my dad's head.
Nuh-uh.
So now we have this man like down in a booth. Howie Feinstein is there with his big afro and white stuff all over his head. And then they called the ambulance.
What?
Yes.
No, they did not.
Yes.
Hershey Park.
Ambulance called.
This is a terrible Hershey Park trip.
Ambulance called, and he's laying down in the booth, and then the ambulance calls, takes my dad out on a stretcher. Everybody's just blinking. just watching all of this, just like, what the fuck with this family? And then my dad just gets taken out. My mother just sitting there, she was probably just losing her mind. She's a social worker with like three young kids. She just started slowly crying as she's eating, and we all just finished our breakfast. And then she goes up to pay the bill, and there was this glass case. I remember in this restaurant, you could see all the big chocolate, the special things you could get, you know? And so there's big, huge, giant chocolate kiss and all these special chocolate things behind glass. And I looked at my brother and he was like, we were a team every once in a while, you know what I mean? And he was like, if mom's ever gonna let us get, it's gonna be now. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, you know? So we got on the same team for a second. We knew she was broken down. You know, she's basically drunk. She'd let us do anything at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they were like, ma'am, somebody's paid for your breakfast. Of course, because they must have felt so sorry for a fucking mess of a family. So then my mom started sobbing. My brother was like, now, go! So I was like, mom, can we have this? And she was just putting it out. Like, we never thought she would say yes to these things. You know, we got our toys from Toy Traders in Gaithersburg, Maryland. I don't know if it's still open, but we had to return a toy if we wanted a new toy because for me, like, you know, I would have to, it was like the Sophie's Choice of toys. You'd have to say goodbye to something you weren't ready to. I got a toy, a Barbie, and she had like eyeshadow on her cheek. Like she looked like she'd been in an abusive relationship, and I would just put foundation on her. It was like one of those Barbie makeup heads. So, that was it. My dad went to the hospital. We got all the chocolate. My mom said yes to everything.
What was the matter with him?
He just had like a back spasm because he threw us.
The ambulance came. That's so embarrassing.
An ambulance came. That's he was big. Laying like this, like, you know, like screaming in a tiny restaurant. It was like a little family, you know, like wood country restaurant. Imagine that, just that everybody in that tiny space just watching us, like,
get your shit together.
Yeah. So that was that. Yeah, that was our Hershey Park experience. And then we got my dad from the hospital later. They brought him out in like a wheelchair. We were like, yeah, like we were cheering. We were such a mess. And then we went back and my brother probably puked in the car and that was it. So Jewish camp.
Yeah, tell me about Jewish camp.
Are these sleepaway camps?
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like a brother and sister camp. My camp was called Camp Louise. What? Camp Ari and Louise. Yeah. That was our kid camp we would go to.
Two camps, one legacy.
It was a boy camp and a girl camp.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And how old are you when you're here? Middle school, elementary school?
No, younger. Probably like 11 or something.
Okay.
And I remember that we would have a dance with the boys camp. I made a friend and we would call each other lesbian lovers. I don't even think we knew what lesbian was. We just was like, we're lesbian lovers just because we were friends, you know? And I would do, you know, try to make her laugh. And she was very funny. And we would hang out together. And then we would have a dance with the boys' school and or camp. And then we would all, you know, try to make out with the boys. And I think they chose her instead of me, strangely enough. And she'll never see this, so I guess I can say it. Then she was the hot girl in school. Okay. And my brother like loved her. Everybody loved her. She was that blonde, blue-eyed, perfect-looking Jewish girl, but looked like she was kind of waspy. It was like just the perfect cocktail, but like still like kind of smart, swarthy Mediterranean, like looks at the same time, but blue eyes. Anyway, everybody was obsessed with her. Later, she ended up kind of stalking me and like sending me a lot of crazy messages. I had to get a restraining order.
What?
Yes. We ended up years after seeing her at this camp, we ended up in the same high school. And my brother was in love with her. He thought she was so gorgeous. And later on, she started stalking me. And I told my brother, guess who's been stalking me? And then, you know, let's not say her name. And then my brother's like, no way. Like, I had the biggest crush on her. I was like, yeah, it's getting a little weird. So I end up having to get a restraining order. My brother thinks it's so funny that this hot girl was stalking me. And he's like,
can I ask you, if you have a restraining order against someone that goes to your high school, how do they manage to stay away from you?
Oh, no, the restraining order wasn't until like I was like in my late 30s.
What?
Yeah.
It went that long?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I should clarify all of this. So I knew her in Jewish sleepaway camp. We ended up in the same high school many, many years later we were kind of friends in my early 20s. And then maybe 19, 20, actually. Then many years later, she saw me on TV. She was then pretty full blown into her throbbing mental illness, started stalking me around that time.
Copy that.
My brother thought it was so funny that this, because she was so hot, how would she be stalking me? Like, he was just forever the hot girl.
Yeah, right. I know. Isn't that, that's dudes though.
Yeah.
But wait, she's hot.
Yeah. He's like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
What do you mean? By the way, that was everybody's kind of reaction. They're like, oh, who cares? Come on. She's hot. Right. So my brother thought it'd be really funny to get a sweatshirt made that said, I'll have to change your name for this. I'm on Annie's side because of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put her mugshot in the middle. Yes. And got that made because he thought it was so hilarious. And he would kept calling me during this entire situation. She ended up pleading and there was no court. But like during this entire situation, my brother was like, don't be mad. But we had coffee because he just thought it was so funny. He didn't have coffee with my stalker.
Okay, okay.
But he thought it'd be funny to say. He's like, Annie and I talked and she made some good points. And then he made that sweatshirt. And he still wears it when he's like sitting around playing video games. He has the sweatshirt of my stalkers, which shows you, you know. Like,
where your family's
yes,
from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jewish camp.
Rachel, thank you for doing this episode.
Thank you.
This has been great. Why don't you promote your special again for us and everybody?
I have a special out called Big Guy. It's out right now. It's on Netflix. It's on right now.
And go watch it.
Go watch it. It's my first hour special. Thank you so much for having me.
Congrats on everything.
Thank you.
Go watch Rachel's special for sure. Big Guy on Netflix. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to you all next week.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.